many forms and many kind of ways that it can be seen or not seen in our university. So the way that we see it, that it can be like direct acts, or it can be something that is in the structures as well. Yes, oh, no, not.
Okay, now it's better. So, as a short, it can be happening in many forms.
Okay, thank you for the question. I think the problem with how is it visible is that it usually isn't, and that's the most difficult part about tackling racism is we know it's there, but it's difficult to pinpoint, and the making it visibility is probably about making all of ourselves aware of racism being even in situations where we can't exactly pinpoint it. And that's the tough question, I guess.
Good afternoon, everybody, on my behalf as well. I totally agree with the previous speakers with this theme. What racism is not, I think that everybody at our university and in the society should be able to be him or herself and be able to conduct and take into account his or her own experiences and to tell about them if they feel that they will experience anything which is against their own beliefs and ways.
Okay. Thank you very much for that so far. If Rosanna can chime in now, in your opinion, and based on a different context that is not JYU, what do you see racism to be and what perhaps it is not?
Good afternoon, and thank you for the invitation to be in this panel. And yeah, the question about racism and what it is, I think this is actually much simpler than we tend to think. I mean, there is a definition of racism, which means it's prejudice, discrimination, on the basis of your racial background or being or your ethnic background. I think that's very simple. It's as simple as that. If you're being discriminated on the basis of your race or your ethnic background, then that's racism. There's really, I think it's very simple and clear cut in that sense. So what it is not, it is I have difficulties with when we talk about racism as being complex. I think it's a quite a simple matter. Are you being discriminated against because of your racial or ethnic background? If you are, then it's racism. If you're not, then it's not racism. Box, check, check.
Yeah, thanks for that input. So I could be in agreement with you that it is supposed to be very simple. It's supposed to be, sorry to use this, black and white. It is what it is. It isn't what it isn't. But in practice, for reasons that may be good or not good, it isn't that simple. So take a scenario of you are a teacher and you've experienced something in your classroom that in your mind is racism, but then in the minds of other people, and this is an assumption you're making, it isn't. So you may end up not taking a step about it, or you may take a step and the person you tell about it doesn't think that is racism. So how do we deal with scenarios like this? So maybe I start with HR.
It is very important that everybody will raise up, take up the issues which they feel that which is racistic or some other inappropriate behavior. And we at the university, we do have guidelines how to tackle these issues. For example, employees at the university, every one of them, they have a supervisor, manager who deals with their daily work. And that manager, supervisor, is responsible for creating an environment, this safe environment in which everybody can work safely. And that supervisor needs to take care of that every one of us working at the university can, and his, her issues will be taken into account and examined if any racistic thing has happened. So it's up to the supervisor to take care, and it's up to every one of us to make sure that the university community is safe to work within.
All right, so perhaps I go to Nora, because that was from the perspective of a teacher, from the perspective of students.
Yes, so
Now, I guess I have some problems with the microphone. Maybe I learn it next time. So I agree with Pia. Those kind of measures are really important. What we as a student union have been thinking much is the information about these issues. Like, does the students, for example, know about equality? And do people in the university understand the situations that might be racist or are racist? So there are many things that we'll still need to learn more about, and we are trying to learn every day so we can act better, the whole university and the students as well.
Okay.
I'm also thinking about the channels of reporting these kinds of things, that they might not always be very inviting or easily found. As you may know, we conducted the survey on racism on campus in the end of March, and we don't really have any detailed results of that yet, but we do know, based on the very preliminary looking at those results, that most of the people who had experienced racism or racist acts on campus had not reported them, either because they felt it was difficult, or they felt it wouldn't be any use anyway, or they felt that they were afraid to do that for some reason. And I think that's the problem. One of the big problems in this area is that if you don't even have channels to properly deal with racism on campus, I think that's a big problem. And that should not be on the person who's experiencing racism. I think that should be on the university to fix those channels.
Okay, I will come back to what you have raised, Taina, but perhaps I go to Rosiana, because we're talking about there are guidelines, there are procedures at the University of Jyväskylä. How about University of Eastern Finland? What at an institutional level, how are you addressing this?
Yeah, thank you. Well, first of all Finnish universities have to have equalities policy, right? So there in the University of Eastern Finland, we have our equalities and equal opportunities committee, of which I'm a member, and we have to do a plan every 2 years. And we've just published current plan for the next 2 years. And within that plan, we've addressed issues on anti-racism and how that is addressed at the university. We also have, instructions on how to handle inappropriate treatment and harassment, both for staff and for students and researchers. And we have bodies that have been structured to coordinate work and this body coordinates the instructions and the processes. Of course, all supervisors and teachers are obliged to intervene whenever they witness any inappropriate behavior, and and harassment in general. So I speak about harassment in all terms, including racism. And then we have anti-harassment contact persons at the student union and also at the university level. And there are ways and people contact people who can be contacted when you have an issue. I think the issue is reporting. So if I'm a student or a staff member who is basically experiences racism. So because we're talking about racism, I take that as the example of harassment. But so I experience racism as either as a staff member or as a student, and I need to report this. There is a threshold on reporting, because first of all, to take that incident forward, a person might be hesitant to do so because they are seen as maybe I have a short-term contract, and if I report a case of racism, perhaps it's somebody in my department, or it could even be your boss, you might be seen as a troublemaker. And you don't want to be seen as a troublemaker because that could affect you're afraid that that could affect your contract upcoming. Or you are hesitant to report that racism incident because you don't believe anything will come out of it. And that's a structural thing we have in not just at the university, but even in the Finnish societal level. The repercussions for racism are like a slap on the wrist. So there's a huge threshold to report it, because why would I go to all that trouble to report it and nothing happens? I just experience that violence over and over again by having to go over that situation over and over and over again. And then the third issue is that, to who am I reporting this to? I think that as a person of color, talking to somebody who can't identify the situation as I can, or can't understand the situation as I can, is difficult. So, and if you do look at our Finnish universities, I'm not talking about UEF in general, I'm talking about all Finnish universities, as we've been talking a lot about diversity, equity, and inclusivity. If you look at Finnish universities in general, and look at, and we're all like, we're very diverse, we're inclusive, and extremely diverse, we're international. Yes, that's correct at the academic level. But go to administration and see what you will find. You'll see pictures of mostly middle-aged white women. I'm just speaking very frankly here. So our diversity there is very limited, and it can cause difficulties for people of color when they want to go and report a case of racism to somebody who would not be able to identify with the issue.
Thank you. Thanks, Rosanna. So I think that what Rosanna has done is basically pushing us to the direction of having a critical conversation about this amongst ourselves. There are procedures in place. There are guidelines in place. But I'm sure we are also aware that some of this is not functional. So we are in 2023. What are we doing? So if you think passive, by having rules in place, that's passive intervention. How about active intervention? If we're talking about University of Jyväskylä being an anti-racism, what are the stances that we are taking? Any reflection from, maybe I put Tina on the spot first.
Thank you. As a middle-aged white woman, yeah. Absolutely. First of all, I totally agree with what Rosanna was saying. It's absolutely true. And I think that us only realizing, it's even offensive to say that we are realizing that these measures are not enough. And now to think about ways in which not to change the behavior of the people who are being attacked in a racist way, but to change our behavior into not allowing this in the campus in the first place, not to be reactive, but to be active. That's actually the big question. And I think a lot of that has to do with us, I mean us middle-aged white women and the Finnish society in general having been very happy and very self-satisfied with the equality in our society. The problem is that equality has very much focused on binary gender equality and on maybe regional and maybe linguistic equality, but nothing else. And now we need to step away from that self-satisfied understanding that we are an equal society and look at these various intersecting. We are not just talking about race. We are talking about, we just had this discussion actually at the meeting of the equity and accessibility group, that we need a discussion of accessibility on all levels. So to talk about, is the University of Jyväskylä an accessible campus for everybody? And it's not. And then how do we go back to discussing the various ways and making visible the various ways it's not accessible? And through that, to change the behavior of us in that situation. But I know this is very abstract, but it's also, I guess it's about learning in the end.
At the University of Jyväskylä, we have house rules for our university community. And one of these house rules is that respect and understand others' point of view. I'm perhaps very naive, but I really believe in people and that we together as a community, we can help us to understand. I agree with this, that we talk about that we are an equal community, but we have these hidden structures perhaps which we need to be able to identify which they ever are. And I hope that this racism survey which we have done at the university that will raise up these and give some answers what we need to do. I think that we, taking me into account as well as a middle-aged white woman as well, so that I could and we all could recognize what kind of biases and prejudices we have, which affect into our own behaviors, even though which are unconscious and which we don't realize that they exist within us when we are working here and dealing with them. And encountering other people. So we need to learn quite a lot, I think, more about these issues. What are, from my experiences, what I have been dealing with in my previous tasks when I was helping managers and supervisors with different kind of cases of inappropriate treatment. That was one of my major tasks previously. I worked also for the Equality Committee. I was the secretary for that committee and faced some cases at the university. And this, what was talked about earlier, so that we don't see the other person's point of view actually when he or she is talking about these experiences, racistic experiences. So I think we need to learn those things, how to find them in each other.
Yeah, I could continue about the talk that you already started about the learning and the survey as well. So you asked what could be done like actively, like yeah. We have passive ways that we have already mentioned, and the active ways are the next step, the one we need to really take. And in the survey that we did as a student union and the university together about racism in our university and our university community, we asked what we could do, what kind of actions we could actually take, and we still don't have the full analysis of the survey and the answers we got, but we got some really important information and some things that I'm sure that will be useful in our work in our work with these issues. For me, I think we need some education about these issues, the whole community together, and when we learn more about these issues, I'm sure that we will learn what are the most effective actions that we can take towards these topics, and what Pia was talking about, understanding the point of view of others, that's something that we really need to work on, and that's something we actually discussed in the group that Dina was talking about in this week as well.
All right. I will go to Rosanna to give us at least a reflection of what UF is doing actively. But then after that, I'm going to come to the audience. I will have a question for you, and I hope that you will join in this conversation. So, Rosanna, what besides what you have checked the boxes that we have an equality plan in place, this and this in place, what are you doing proactively as an institution?
Thank you for this question. I think it's pretty much similar to what other Finnish universities are doing. The discussion in Finland is very new, but very welcome. I have been embracing this for a long time. Maybe just to give some perspective, I've been here, I've been in Finland back in Finland, because I was actually born here in the mid-70s, and my parents ended up moving away. And one of the factors was racism, right? So then I moved back here exactly 30 years ago. And it's really weird when I talk to my mother, because the same issues we face now in terms of racism are the same things that she faced in the 70s. So in a way, it seems like we've stagnated. However, there have been ups and downs. So when I came back to Finland as a young, very young adult, coming to study here, being a frog, as Quivin, you explained in your last presentation in the previous session, I found myself in a situation where we had an influx of Somali refugees. And the Finnish society reaction then was quite horrendous, I should say. It was quite shocking for me, coming from a country like Kenya, where, yes, I experienced racism, but in a different way. And then I come back to Finland, my home country, where I never had anything else as other than I have a Finnish passport. So this is my home country. And the first thing I'm told is go back to Somalia. And I was like, what? Then the situation gets better. There's more internationalization in Finland. There's more people in, you know, coming in from different countries, especially in higher education. So there was a boom of internationalization in Finnish universities. And I experienced hand being as an international or local student. I don't know, because I was very confused. Am I Finnish or am I international? Still can't say. But really the discussions in racism were never had. And this is the first time now we're having this discussion in 2023. And I'm thinking of a 30-year span in Finland. I've never had this much discussion about diversity, equity, and in inclusivity on this scale. So I think that's a really good thing. There was, as I said, the situation got better in terms of racism up until when we had our 2015, when we had the far right wing in the government, that was something that we saw spiraling down, and then it got better again, and now we're having this discussion. But there's a, and it's very confusing for me now when we're having these discussions in higher ed about equity, inclusivity, diversity. At a very, you know, deep level, we've been discussing, there have been trainings going on. So our universities, to give you a practical answer, our universities have been doing trainings together, sessions together. My good colleague, Ms. Anne Kaupinen from our HR, has been working with HR in Jyväskylä and in other Finnish universities to organize different types of training sessions and create awareness of diversity, equality, and inclusivity. But on the other hand, look at the discussions that we're having politically. It's very polarized and it's very frightening in a sense, in terms of being a person of color in Finland at this time. And how is the discussion going on in society compared to what is going on in university? It seems like we're in two different worlds. But I'm happy to say that the discussions are there at universities now. And I think that's a positive thing. There's trainings. There's discussion, there are campaigns, and all of those are good things because people become more aware. And as I think was said in the discussion by one of the panelists, that you know sometimes the racism, somebody has not actually recognized that their actions are racist. So there is that unconscious issue that you've never actually realized that that is. And that's where the awareness comes. And talking about racism is I think, one of the biggest things that we can do. But when it comes to trainings, my concern is that people that are interested in that discussion are the ones that will be there. So, but how about the ones that need that discussion and need that awareness? But they are not there. That's how do we reach those individuals? Because we do need, those are the ones that you need to talk to.
Thanks. Thank you very much for these questions, and I'm hoping that we're taking note of them. And as we go forward, these are some of the things we consider when we are arranging the next conversations or making the next plans for dealing with racism in our universities. But now to get the audience involved in this, a first question that might seem trivial, but here goes. Is this a conversation that you feel you need to be a part of? Do you feel you need to be a part of a conversation on racism in our university? Do you feel you need to be a part of this? Okay, good. Are you willing to participate? Are you willing to share in this moment why you may not be able to report? As it has been said, reporting is very poor. Engaging in the conversation is very poor. We have the middle-aged white women taking a step and having the conversation. How about us? Anybody wants to reflect on how the other public could be part of this conversation? Yeah.
I don't know how that went, but
I want to throw my voice. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the conversation is quite intriguing and it concerns all of us. However, in your presentation earlier on, you made mention of the fact that we need to be resilient. We need to adapt. We need to do this, we need to do that. But the point is, if you cut open my flesh and you cut open another flesh, perhaps saying that this is white, this is black, what type of fluid that comes out of it? Is it same as it appears to the eyes as reddish or it is greenish? So it means that we are all human beings and we need to be treated as such. In my home country, for instance, we receive the people called whites. I don't want to say that. They are also human beings, but where they find themselves, their skin color is like that. So why can't they also accept us? However, we are all trying to have what you call an academic intercourse. We are all trying to masturbate. We're all trying to do something to put out there that this is what we can be. we can do as a people of one descent of a sort. Because if you try to now bring in that line of discrimination, you are this people of color. I don't even hear that. So for me, if you call me a people of color, I'm not called a people of color. And if you try to push, but you see, some of them have put up a kind of facade and a kind of thing around them that if you try to stand up for your own rights, then they're going to say that you are, as you call it, you are, what's the word? You are aggressive. But what you did to that person, wasn't it so? So I believe that it is about time that we accept who we are and we're going to move on. But it is here. And it is here. Because we in that part of the world, we are hospitable. We are friendly. We seem to care about everybody. But the culture here and elsewhere seems to be divergent. That is where perhaps this line of discrimination comes up. So for me, and if I try to answer it, I spoke on my own accord, I believe that it is here and it is here. What defines you? Let's stand up for who we are. After all, if we indeed believe that there is a God somewhere, we are all created in His image. If indeed we believe. If not, I walk on 2 feet, you walk on 2 feet. I speak, you speak. We meet and we discuss issues. Do I bring something reasonable to the table? If I do, am I not a human being? Am I not also contributing to the development of the economy? Am I not helping somebody to be who we want to be? So I think that it's about time we embrace each other and move on. I thank you for your attention.
Okay, I will take two more reflections and then we come back.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, do I have to start going? Okay. I'm used to it. Well, I feel like all of us, racism, I feel like working towards it starts with you, like starts with individual, because we always look at the big picture, but we sort of avoid taking responsibility, like individual responsibility. Okay, the organization has to do this, but how about individuals, the individual institutions? We should guide our prejudice, because I feel like from my experience on my search for a job, I feel like the institution's prejudice it's so depressing, because I feel like even your last name could avoid you even getting a job. And I shared my experience earlier that you apply for a job and then the response is, I'm sorry, we are taking applicants from people who are based in Finland. And in my thoughts, I'm like, I have been living here since 2014. You didn't even take the time to read the application. So individual people in the institutions, I feel like the education should start with making it more practical, making people take, like, we have this kind of discussion, but how about practical things that will make the individual take responsibility, guide their assumptions, their prejudice, because it can be very depressing. You put in all your efforts, you know you have the skill sets, but just because of where you come from, you don't have the opportunity. And this is what even we call the weather is depressing. But sometimes these actions, it can make someone get depression, because I think I'm like, I can do this, but just because of how I look, I don't even get the chance. Because of my name, I don't even get the chance. So how about people taking in? I don't want to cry, but it's so sad. Like, I've been talking about this since first year. Like,
it's okay. You don't need to calm down. Just, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to cry, but it's just so hard. Like, I know I put in the efforts, the skill set, I know I can do the job, I know I can, but there's no opportunity. And from first year, from master's, from my degree to master's studies, we are still talking about this. And I'm thinking, like, where are we going as a people? Like, where are we going? Why should you be avoided an opportunity because of how you look? You know, but we still strive. Thank you.
One last.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
No, you can. I go.
All right. Thank you. Well, for me, I think I wanted to say something like what she said. Like, of course, it starts with you. How do you perceive it and how do you react to it? But again, what is making this thing get worse is that, like I was listening, we're asking the questions, the panelists, like, do you think racism, how is racism is here? Like, it was really hard for them to speak it out. Like, do they see it? It is there? And how does it look like? So what comes into my mind is that there is a big gap between those who experience and those who can maybe intervene. So my question is, of course, we start saying that there's a campaign, anti-racism campaign, which is a very good initiative, actually. But how is it done? Again, the issue of transparency. Like, if somebody has been a victim of racism, if that person reports, what happens then? Is there any communication? I think it comes now to the institutional frameworks at the institutional level, the transparency. And how is it being handled? That's why you feel people, they have a lot of experiences. I'm just here like 1 month and 2 weeks, but I haven't seen this. I'm kind of learning from other people, but the impression is that racism is here. But why is it not reported? If I may ask people here who has like reported how transparent the system is, I think the problem now is in the system. How do we link the victim to the people who can intervene at the institutional level? Forget about the communities, like going out of the university. That may be hard. It needs to go to the community and have awareness campaign and all that. But if you can start from where people are working, studying, then it can be easier maybe. Like, create a good environment for people to feel like, yeah, now we are integrated in this system. You know, the problem is people don't understand. Racism is in two parts. There is the overt one, like the one we know. Like, people will be like shouting, being aggressive and discriminating publicly. But the covert one, like, it's habitual. People cannot see it, but people do experience it. But how do you report that? Now, I think something we need to think about if we need to solve that problem. But the problem seems to be there. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Is it possible to ask a question?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a tough one.
Yeah.
Can you hear?
No. Yeah, so is it better? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so actually, I wouldn't go into too much history, but I would just ask a question. Because now we are talking about how to communicate and report cases of racism. And for me, the question is, if I'm reporting something, then probably I would need to know what does it take? What is the process like from reporting to action? And I don't know if the students or the community, the university community, the students there, they know that process and they are aware of the structures that we have at the different universities for this. And how do we even communicate that there is this structure in place in the first place? That would enable someone to know that, okay, I have experienced this thing and I need to talk to someone. And also thinking in my head, like, how long does it take for action, for me to see action, at least even recognition that this thing did happen?
Yeah.
I think I'll end.
Yes.
Add one, two small comments.
Okay.
Sorry, I just got
Okay, I just wanted to say a couple of things. Thank you for everybody who's talked and asked questions. I have two comments. One is leading off of what Judith said about the covert racism. And I hear the panelists were talking, I mean, this is very important, about safety. But I would actually expand the definition of racism to also include comfort, that people feel comfortable, not just, you know, it may not be that your safety is threatened, but you may feel uncomfortable when people say things or images or, you know, these things we've talked about. So I would expand it from safety to comfort. And also, the gentleman in the back mentioned about, if I heard right, that, you know, he doesn't want to be seen as a person of color. And I agree, we are all people of color. And I was at a conference last summer where there was several women, female researchers from they had either been born in Africa or their parents had, and they were living in Norway. And they were having a real problem with the Norwegian authorities, because the Norwegian authorities that they were dealing with every day in education and health would not admit that they were white. Because the Norwegians felt that, well, white, you know, I guess, my guess is that it comes with such negative baggage. There's a whole history of, you know, the white oppression and the colonialism. And so the Norwegians said, we're not white. We're not white. And my point is, we are white. The skin comes with a history. We are not neutral, mainstream, or, you know, or just this kind of non-color. We have to, as people that are working at the university, understand that our skin comes with baggage and that we have to take responsibility for that. It doesn't mean that, you know, that we're responsible for all colonialism, but it means that we have to understand that we are a color as well. And to understand that, okay, so the first thing is to accept that, yes, I'm white, and that can be a problem in some situations where I could be racist to somebody, and I need to be aware that we are all a color. And I agree with the gentleman in the back that we're all human, absolutely. But, you know, we're not just because we're white and I blended in as a migrant from the beginning. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're just kind of our skin color is a non-issue, you know, so it is an issue. Okay, thanks.
I will ask you to comment, but I know that Rosanna had her hand up at some point. I don't know if it was a question, so I think I will start with Rosanna, and then we will have a reflection based on what we've listened to.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for all that questions, comments. First of all, I would like to send a virtual hug to
Helena.
Helena, was it Helena or Helena?
Helena.
Helena, I'm sending you a virtual hug, and don't despair. Not everybody in Finland is racist, and it can get better, and it will get better, and it's an up and down. But we're with you. So a lot of questions here, a lot of things to unpack. First of all, the comment, okay, why I say people of color is because I think ignoring our color is also ignoring the fact that we do have different colors, and we're all different. People come in different colors, shapes, and forms. And for me, it's I embrace my color. I am proud of it, and I see no reason to hide away from it, or to kind of change it in any way, or to camouflage it. So I know in Finnish, for instance, I have noticed that there is this tendency to be very shy about saying, okay, how do you say that a person is black? They're like, okay, can I say musta? Or then because they don't want to say musta, then then they go to tumma. But even a person from Southern Europe that's, you know, dark haired is tumma in Finnish. And I'm like, well, say musta. Black is black. Brown is brown, white's white, so what? And I, this is where I think there's a problem. In Finland, we've been blind to this, and we kind of, because we don't gather statistics on ethnicity. And we understand why is because we don't want to categorize people. You know how they do it in the US or in the UK. Are you black this? And we can be from so many different backgrounds. And when I've had to fill in those forms, my box is always other because I never find anything that fits my definition of who I am. And so that's a good thing we don't have that sort of thing. But on the other hand, it shies away from the problem because when we don't gather the statistics on how different people from different ethnic backgrounds experience things, we don't have the data. So then we can say we don't have data, so we don't see a problem. It's hidden. And that's the thing that's been happened so long in Finland that, okay, so how do we go about this? And this is a structural thing. It's a very a difficult thing to solve. And I can only hope that us as institutions have this conversation on how to solve that. The question's about, okay, what do we do in practice when there is an incident of racism? So now this would depend on where it happens. So if there is an incidence of racism in the university, then there are those people who you report there, the contact people, or you inform your supervisor or your program coordinator, and then they take it forward. At least at our university, we have contact people who then can take that matter forward. And then talk with the person who has had that experience. And then they also, you know, talk with the other counterpart if they are from the university. Incidents can happen, and a lot of incidents tend to happen then out of campus. It can happen, you know, you're a student or you're a visiting researcher, and then you have an incident which happens out of campus. And here's a difficulty, I think, then from a legal standpoint, that is this then the responsibility of the university or not? So there's that sort of thing that has to be considered. But now if it is, let's take a situation that something happens on campus, so that incident is reported, it's investigated within the university, there's a discussion, okay, it comes out that yes, there is an incidence of racism, that then turns into a legal issue, right? So especially if there, you know, what kind of, maybe somebody was beaten up, then that's a criminal issue. And even name calling can be a criminal issue. One of our ULE reporters, Ujuni Ahmad, has experienced a lot of racism on social media, and she, you know, it's name calling and being threatened because she's black, and she's reported then that to the police. So then so you report this to the police, and there comes a case. So the police have to investigate this matter. And when the police investigate the matter, then they take it to the prosecutor, who then deliberates and decides on whether this case will be tried or not. Will it go to court or not? Because in Finland, we don't have that system that, oh, I'm going to sue you. That doesn't work here. The prosecutor decides whether that case is taken to court or not. So when it goes to that end, in many cases, unfortunately, the prosecutor can decide that this is not an issue that they want to try in court. So in the case of Ujuni Ahmed, this was not a university issue, but I'm just taking a case example because this was on media. The prosecutor decided, even though the perpetrators were known, they wrote with their own names all different sorts of threats, that this is a case of it's such a small issue that it doesn't need to be tried. Now, this was a devastating, from my perspective, it was a devastating decision because it just kind of undoes everything. And this is why I said this is like a slap on the wrist. So when I see a message like that coming out, and this is a prolific person that's known, and this sort of a case, and I get very depressed when I see that kind of a decision, because then I think I am, you know, a nobody. And if I took my case, and then, you know, a prosecutor is going to say that, okay, that this is a non-issue. So why would I bother going forward? Because living that, when you go to the police to you go to somebody to report your case, then you go to, then it comes a police case. This is not a very fast process. It can take months. And when you go to the police, it can take even a year for the police to go through this case. So I'm just giving you facts. This takes a year for the police to investigate. And then it takes a year before the issue is in a court or something, if it goes there. And you're living this violence over and over again. Because I understand, Elaine, there's a, reaction. Even name calling can be a very violent issue. And this is where I hope that the Finnish society actually realizes how violent these feelings are, these experiences are, to us who experience racism. And then if it does go to court, then it takes a very long time to go through the court. And then somebody might be given a 4-month sentence, if you're lucky, or they'll get a fine. Does it seem fair? Is this justice? I would say perhaps not, but this is the Finnish justice system. It's very lenient in a sense. So this is an issue, and this is where, then, as Quiven said in her issue, we have to adapt. But I think the first step is reporting. And I never would like to say to somebody, don't report a case of racism. I think that if we actually did report cases of racism, then the issue would come out more. And then, but then the person reporting that racism needs support. And that's where we as universities in our administration need to realize that we need to offer support to people who experience the racism through that entire journey. But then to also reflect on who are the persons giving that support, because you need to have people you can relate to and who understand the situation. And not that first thing that when you go and report a case of racism and say, okay, I want to report that this and this person called me names and removed me or hit me because of my color. And then the person then starts an interrogation of, are you sure? Was it because of the color? Maybe the person was just an angry person who was, just being a violent person, or they just don't like you. It's nothing to do with your color. So having to do that, then just kind of, we need to have support systems for that. But I think that we as individuals also need to take the responsibility to give these messages back and back and harder to our administrations in universities to realize their issues.
Thanks, Rosanna. I'm not so sure how to proceed as to whether you have some kind of comment based on what you've been listening to, or throw something else at you to keep the conversation moving. So I think I will go with throwing something else at you, but feel free to step back and incorporate other reflections in your response. We are learning a lot. And I suppose we all knew getting into this conversation that racism is something very complex, very dynamic. We also aware that we're not going to have easy solutions or even quick solutions. But at least one thing is that it's systemic and it's structural. It is very deeply rooted at a bottom level. And I suppose that if we wanted to respond to it, we are supposed to take it as such and respond at also a systemic, structural level as well. Is that what we're doing? If you take University of Jyväskylä, when we started, I read a quote from the vice rector. Then I read something from the student union, the chair of the student union. In your understanding, are we approaching this as a structural issue and coming up with structural level addresses, or how is it working in practice?
I'm not sure I have an answer to that question, but I've been thinking about this structural issue a lot because, like I said in the beginning, a lot of these things are invisible because they seem invisible to us because they are repeated in daily activities that seem mundane to us. And of course, they are not mundane to the people who they
experience them.
Yeah, experience them. And I think that's when we come to the question of what is structural is actually the acceptance of these mundane activities. That's what is structural.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we talked a bit earlier about the awareness raising and the education. And I think, Quvin, you said quite rightly that it's usually the people who are already aware tend to take part of this education, this training as well. But I think the thing about people participating in this training is that then they go to their communities and their departments and their coffee tables. And then that's when it becomes an individual responsibility. Somebody here said that we all need to, I think Rosanna, that we all need to take responsibility as well. And then it's my responsibility in that coffee table to say, hey, that was not okay. And take a stand there. And that's how we can also, if we say that the structural oppression in any form, not just racism, but any kind of structural oppression is based on these everyday acts, then we also have to act ourselves to change those everyday acts. And it's like you said, it's super slow. It's really slow. And it doesn't help people who experience that every day. But that's one thing we can do.
In the university equality plan, it states that we aim to mainstream equality issues at the university, which means that we should have some kind of measures and procedures when we are making decisions, when we are implementing new actions or systems or whatever at the university, so that we would see those decisions through the eyeglasses of diversity and equality. I think we should, I'm not sure whether we have this mainstreaming issue going on at the moment, but it is stated in the equality plan. And I think that we should have a system where we always take these glasses, eyeglasses, see through diversity, inclusive way, so that everybody working at the university would be taken into account when making the decisions.
Yeah, you already mentioned something about the university equality plan, and we have an equality plan in the student union as well, and we are currently updating it, and the results that we got from the survey are going to be used in that process of updating the plan, and we are trying to come up with like actual acts that we can do, not just like words that we are saying that we are trying to be more equal, but we are trying to focus on actual stuff, like actual procedures that we can be doing. And I still don't know what those acts are, but we are trying to learn and trying to find ways to do that.
Okay. We're heading towards the end of the time slot for this, but I think that we would miss if we didn't talk a little bit about intersectionality and the way in which something racism, as I'm sure that we've talked a lot about equality, we've talked about discrimination, we're using different terminologies to kind of describe the things that can all sometimes turn out to be racism, sometimes not, but also those alternative terms also provide an escape for someone, so that if they racially discriminated someone, they can just call it something else. But nonetheless, that brings us to the point of intersectionality, when a pile of characteristics of a person then shapes just how much of a penalty you pay in, for example, a racist environment. So again, at least I'm sure this is something we're thinking about, but you could tell us, I wonder if I should start with Rosiana. You could tell us how you're thinking about this in the policies that you're influencing, in the interventions that you can be a part of. How is intersectionality something that is coming through? Is it, how are you dealing with it?
Thanks, Quivin. That's an interesting question, and of course very topical. And you know, there's intersectionality can just be, I mean, there's this very one good stereotype, angry Black woman. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just the angry Black woman talking about raising up a racist card, right? So that's the question, or so. You are a person of a certain color, your gender, your age, your religion, pack all of these into something, you face a lot of different things, you know, your sexual orientation and all of that. So what are we doing about this? Well, I think all of these things come into the same discussion. I can give an example. We're talking about diversity and how do you want to show diversity, and in the beginning of this discussion I said middle-aged white women, and not to offend anyone, but just to make a point about what it is when we talk, what do you see when you talk about diversity, and when you look at Finnish universities, let's look at our web pages, and who do we see there? Young people. We don't see very many old people on our websites. We don't see many people with disabilities on our websites. We don't see older men, older women, or maybe older men, but older women. So, you know, you've got that entire thing. So are we talking of our universities just for young people, young trendy people from somewhere? And then, you know, then we put the token colors in there. You'll have different shades of black and brown on the web pages. Are we showing the disabled or in different ways? Are we showing what we are, or are we showing what we want to be? So that's the other thing. I think that's one of our communications person said to us, that do we want to show what we are, or do we want to show what we want to be? So I think the thing is that we're discussing it, and which is good, as I've said that. But then to take this into further action, at least from my own action is talking about it and bringing it out more and more often. I happen to be within working in admin, and I keep saying that, hey, our university services are not diverse. In terms of the, we talk about diversity, but our university services are not diverse. So what are we going to do about it? Does this mean that we recruit more people from different diverse backgrounds? Perhaps, yes, that's something we should do. And that's a challenge. Maybe that's what I would maybe to end, is that I would be challenging my own university and other universities to think more about making our administrative structures more diverse, the different committees that you have. So is your equalities committee diverse? Can the diverse academic community relate to your equalities committee or equalities committee or your other structures, or to your leadership, or, you know, how diverse are your professors and so forth. So this is, I think, I challenge the university administrations in Finland to think about that. And thank you now, because I have to leave for another event. So I'm going to weigh out, and I wish you all a good day and strength to those going through hard times. And I hope you get some support. And I would also hope that, I know Frank is recording this, so I would challenge you at UVascular University to send this recording to our university leaderships so that they can also see the discussions on the ground and how it actually affects people who go through and experience the racism. It would be quite a powerful message. But have a good Africa Day, despite the hardship.
Thanks a lot, Rosena, for your time. Thank you for your input. And yes, good challenge to Frank and the Africa Day organizing team. But yes, if we continue now, we can continue in a row and then we will finalize and close this chapter. So let's start with Nora.
Okay. Rosena already talked so many good points. So you ask about intersectionality and I almost forgot the whole question, but about that issue, I think it's really important to see intersectionality in our university and all these issues when we are talking about, for example, discrimination or racism, that we don't just focus on one issue, that we see all the different factors that affect these issues, and we need to understand that individuals, that we are all different individuals who come from different backgrounds and different we have different ways we are as a human being, that we understand how those affect to the way we are, and don't just focus on one issue at a time.
I think intersectionality is a very good concept when we want to understand, like Quivin said, and like Nora also said, that not everybody is just one thing. We are not defined just by one characteristic. But sometimes it's also necessary to name things. And that's what we are doing, trying to do all the time, to talk about campus as an accessible environment for all, but also every now and then to name the actual things that prevent the campus from being that. So I guess we have to do both.
Intersectionality. I think I know what that means, but I'm quite sure that most of the people at the University of Jyväskylä wouldn't know what that term would mean. The large umbrella is important. So as you have also mentioned many times here, that we all are human beings and all of us needs to be treated as such, despite of our different, we are all different in some ways. So this bigger umbrella, and Taina mentioned earlier accessibility, whether that would be one of the terms to be used in this aspect. So I just would like us to be more conscious and to know more and to learn more and to try to waken up also those who are not interested and not conscious about these issues. Rosanna mentioned earlier that her university offers training with our university as well. We offer as well training in multicultural, intercultural issues. But as mentioned, only those people attend who are interested and who already knows about these things. So I think our common effort is to try to get those people, those human beings also interested in these issues who not yet are.
Thank you very much. Sorry, Lauren.
I just a really quick thing from all of this, which was a wonderful, wonderful discussion. I was just thinking of, you know, one concrete step. Earlier today, Nelly from the Ministry of Education and Culture, and also Helena, who as entrepreneur, were talking about anonymous recruitment. And I was wondering, is this something that the university could undertake? You know, that when recruiting
anyone, that it could be done anonymously so that there wouldn't be, you know, the name or the other things that, that you know, would maybe, you know, flash information that, that is not, that, that, what I want to say is a barrier to accessibility. We were just talking about accessibility. This is also accessibility for jobs. So this could be a concrete step the university could take, is anonymous recruitment.
Okay, I thought that Pia wanted to comment on that, but yeah, okay. You wanted to comment on that? Yes, yes, please.
That is one of the actions in our university's accessibility plan, because the university has actually launched a new recruitment system, and we took as an action in the accessibility plan to try to pilot anonymous recruitment. But I'm not sure how it is going on at the moment. But anyway, it is staying with accessibility.
Good, good, and thanks for letting us know.
All right, okay, so I will attempt to close this, and I say attempt because I don't think it's very easy to summarize this into any, but it is important that we have something to take away. You have things to take away, and it's important for you to have something to take away for what you can influence going forward. So one thing that we have confirmed is that there are problems with regards to racism. And we know they've been there for a very long time. If we listened to Rosanna, her parents experienced something in the 70s that she is experiencing in 2023. So there's not too much progress. Within the university, it's a new conversation. But so we're confirming it's a new conversation, but it's real. And as we were talking, you realize that people are relating with this very differently. People experience it very differently. So it's very complex. It's very nuanced, meaning that you need equally complex and equally nuanced ways to deal with it. One of the biggest issues, it appears, is responsibility or owning it. At what level is racism as a problem being owned? Is it being owned at the levels that matters the most? So that is a very important place to start the conversation. We need to take ownership. We have things to own. The structure and its representatives has things to own. And then there's a lot of work to do. And it appears that we agree that the place we should start is understanding some more, because there is more information. And we have a roadblock. We did say that there's not enough reporting being done. So the challenge is, we got here and we talked, right? So it means there are ways to actually get to hear what these experiences are. So don't just be satisfied that, oh, we placed a survey, they didn't respond. Find another way. Make it work. Make sure that you know what is happening, what are the shapes, what are the forms of it, and then actively let's come up with solutions. So it's a lot more work and support. Support was mentioned. Support is very important. As we're fixing the broken system, in the meanwhile, let's make sure that those who allowed us to understand that it's a broken system are not lost on the way. That's my summary. Does somebody want to say something? All right. Okay. I will throw this back to Frank.
Yeah, thank you, Quivin, and thanks to our very kind panelists for joining us today. We wrap up this session now, and we take a break. We're having our poster session, which starts in about 5 minutes or so, should have started already. But because we have to just finalize a few things, you'll find us right here. So in the next 5 minutes or so, you can join us in the panel area for those who will be present. I'm also reminding you that at 16 we'll be having a very interesting discussion or dialogue between Africans from Africa and Africans in Finland, who will be talking about some of the expectations we are having for each other and where the challenges or barriers are in the process. So thank you so much, and have a good afternoon and enjoy the rest of the program with us for those who are still here. Thank you.
Thank you so much.